So last week we spoke about the concept of Hagala, how you kasher things through Hagala, which is, you know, you pour boiling hot water, etc., and that's how you kasher those items which were used originally through use within with water. What we didn't get to is ovens and things like that, which the way the chametz or the way the treif or whatever it may be got into the kli to begin with is not through water. The way it got to, the way that the flavor that we're trying to get rid of, the chametz, the treif, whatever, got into, the way it got into the kli is with no medium of water. It's just through the heat of the fire itself. So there, the just like last week, we talked about kibbol kach poltoi, that the same way that it went in, it's got to come out. So the idea is here too, is that the way it came in, it came out, it means you have to burn out with no water. You got to burn out the flavor. Now the difference between this is called libun. Now the difference between libun and hagala in the lumdis is that libun. Actually, what happens is, let's start it the other way. Hagala, you take out the flavor. We even asked a question last week that if you take out the flavor, then what does it help? Because the flavor is not going to go back in. So we explained that the reason why it works is because in the water, in the pot, you have 60 times the amount of flavor that's in the kli. So you have a little spoon and you dip it into a pot. All the flavor comes out and it gets bottled in the water. However, by libun, when you want to fire something up with a blowtorch, the way it works is not that the flavor comes out. It doesn't pull out the flavor. But rather, what happens is it burns up the flavor inside the pot. So there's no flavor left. Now, what's the nafkamina of that? What's the difference? Okay, so if someone's not muted, they should mute themselves, I think, unless they have a question. So, the way that libun works is that it burns up the flavor, and the Gemara says that there's a nafkamina of that. The nafkamina of that is by kli cheres. Kli cheres means earthenware, which can include china, earthenware, any types of pottery. The Gemara says that, the Pasuk actually says, that cheres, once flavor goes into cheres, it cannot come out anymore. Because the nature of cheres is that once it comes in, it can't come out anymore. So that's the nature of cheres. So that's why, if let's say you have an earthenware pot, some sort of earthenware pot, the halacha is that you cannot kasher that pot. You can't pour it in. You can't put in boiling hot water and kasher the pot, because the flavor of earthenware is that once it gets in there, it cannot come out anymore. Metal is different. Metal, the Gemara says, you could kasher it that way. So the question is, would you be able to kasher earthenware? Would you be able to kasher earthenware cheres with hagala, with libun? I'm sorry, with libun. So the Gemara, the halacha is yes, because libun, again, the lumdus of libun is that the way you burn out flavor, you're not getting the flavor out, but the flavor is actually getting burnt up in the walls of the pot. And therefore, even earthenware would become kosher through a process of libun. Okay, but now most earthenware would not necessarily be able to handle libun, but that the lumdus is that it would be able to work through libun. Okay, now, there's... Before we get into what I really want to get to today is ovens, stovetops, racks, all sorts of things like that, which all of those items all became chametzdik through the power of the fire itself. Okay? So again, if everyone can mute themselves. So, is there any way to mute? If everyone could just mute themselves, I think it would help. So, unless you have a question, of course. So, should I just mute all? Okay. So now,
Ow, stop!
Let's see if I can mute everyone.
You could mute.
Is that it? What? No, that would be me. Okay. So now, okay. Okay. Now, like this. Okay. So now, the Gemara. Sorry.
You got
it. No, I'm in. Okay. So now the there's also one other thing before we get into all the ovens, the stoves and all that. There's two types of libun, the Gemara says. There's something called libun kal and something called libun chomer. Libun kal is, the Gemara says, kash nisraf. What it means is that if, let's say, it's hot enough that if you put a newspaper to touch it, it would singe the newspaper. Let's say that's about 400 degrees. There's something else called libun chomer, which libun chomer is like nitzoytzoys nitozin mimenu. It mamish sparks up. It's like fire. That's like more like 800 degrees. It's very, very hot. Okay, 700 degrees, something like that. So now, there's two types of libun here. Now, most of the items that we've discussed actually need libun chomer, because let's take, for example, a very simple case. Let's take a frying pan. So you have a frying pan, and you made French toast on that frying pan. Now, how did the flavor of the bread get into the frying pan? Through the power of heat, of fire itself. Assuming it's not like deep fried. So it's sitting there on the pan. So you need, actually now, in order to get rid of that, you need libun chomer. You need a real strong libun. So there's no way to kasher that. The only thing you could possibly do is put into an oven that reaches about 700 degrees. Our ovens only reach 700 degrees under a self-clean cycle. If you try to put a frying pan into a self-clean cycle, it'll melt the frying pan. The frying pan cannot handle that level of heat. So therefore, a frying pan that is chametz is absolutely no way to kasher it practically. It's just going to melt. Okay? But most of the things that had flavor of chametz with direct contact of fire, those things need libud chomer. Okay, so now let's take an oven, the inside of an oven. So the inside of an oven, according to the way if you used it for chametz the whole year, according to what we're saying, the way you kasher it would be you turn it on to self-clean, and if you turn it on to self-clean, so the oven gets hot enough to be considered libun chomer, all the walls and the racks of the oven now become kosher. There is a machlokes about this, however. Reb Aaron Cutler, Rosh Yeshiva Lakewood, he held that ovens, actually, if you think about it, they don't require libun chomer. The reason why they don't require libun chomer is because the way that the oven received the flavor is not through the direct, power of the heat. It's actually through the zeya. It's through the steam, because it's not like you put the challahs that you're baking on the walls of the oven, right? The walls of the oven never actually touch the chametz. So how did the chametz flavor get from the challah to the walls of the oven? That's really through a medium called steam. So since it's called a medium of steam, it doesn't actually require libun chomer. Technically, you could do hagalah. You could boil out that flavor, because just like in a pot, the way the noodles or whatever give flavor into the pot is through a medium of water. So too, in an oven, the challah, the way it gives flavor into the oven is through the medium of the steam. So Rabbi Aaron Cutler held that an oven does not need libun chomer. It could do hagala or libun kal. So the nafkamina of that would be that you don't have to get it up to a self-clean cycle of 700, 800 degrees. You could actually just turn on the highest, which is 450 or 500. Turn on the highest for an hour and a half, 450 for an hour and a half, or 500 for an hour or something like that. And that would be considered libun kal, and that would actually work. So if someone does not have a self-clean cycle in their oven, they could rely on that, which is Rabbi Aaron Cutler's pshak, and some of the Gedolim and Eretz Yisrael also held that way. The minig is, if you have self-clean, you do self-clean, and that would kasher it. Rav Moshe Feinstein held, not like Rabbi Aaron Cutler. So this was a machlekes back in the day between the Baron and Rav Moshe. Rav Aaron held, and a little bit of switch of roles, because normally Rav Aaron Cutler was the machmer and Rav Moshe was the mekel. But here, it came out the opposite, that Rav Moshe was machmer. Rav Moshe held that an oven is libun chomer, And therefore, the only way to kasher is through a self-clean cycle. If you do not have self-clean, you cannot use your oven on Pesach. And I remember still, I was at my sister's house in Eretz Yisrael. And in those days in Eretz Yisrael, very few people had self-clean ovens. And nobody used their oven. So you cook all your chicken and everything like that on the stovetop. And they had something called a sir pele, which is some sort of pressure cooker. And you would actually be able to bake cakes and kugels in that pot on top of the oven. All right, so without an oven on top of the stove, because they would not use their oven because there was no self-clean cycle on it. Now, again, if you have that situation, you can ask a shaila. Reb Aaron again held that you could use libun kal, a lighter level of libun, and the way that would work is you turn it to the highest for a few hours. There's one other point is, what about the racks themselves? According to everybody, even according to Reb Aaron Cutler, the racks themselves require full libun, because the racks themselves did not receive the flavor of the chametz through the medium of air. The racks themselves touch the chametz themselves. Since the racks themselves touch the food, the only way to kasher the racks is with libun chomer, and you have to do a self-clean cycle on those. So if you don't have a self-clean oven, you could turn your oven on to the highest, theoretically, if you really are stuck, and that would be suffice according to Reb Aaron. But then you would need to find a neighbor who's running a self-clean cycle, and you could give them your racks and have them kasher your racks for them, for you, in their self-clean oven. But the only way to kasher the racks would be in a self-clean cycle. Okay? There's one other point is, what about the door of the oven? Apparently, the door of the oven does not reach the temperature of the oven itself. The door of the oven, even when you run a self-clean cycle, does not hit the self-clean mode. Now, the door of the oven also is a little different than the walls, because sometimes the door does get in direct contact with the food, because a lot of times you take the food out, you'll put it on the door or whatever. So the door, pashtus, is a little bit more chomer. Again, if you're going to rely with Reb Aaron, you can rely on the door as well. But if you're doing a self-clean cycle and you don't want to rely on Reb Aaron, what you can do is, theoretically, is cover the door with aluminum foil. So that's what we do. We cover the door with aluminum foil, and the rest we self-clean. And that the self-clean run kashers the racks, it kashers the oven, the walls, and the door of the oven, which does not get that hot, number one. And number two is the door usually has glass, which is a whole different set of problems.
Is this what most poskim say to do? Most consensus?
And if you can't kosher the door, then what help does it do? How do you only kosher part of an oven?
No, because if you don't want to be relying on Reb Aaron, so now you kosher the rest of the oven. So now all you have to do is cover the door. This is what Rabbi Forsheimer in Lakewood says to do. I don't know who the consensus of poskim is, but Rabbi Forsheimer in Lakewood said that the best etza for the door is to cover the door with foil, because the door of the oven doesn't reach the same temperature as the rest of the oven. It's hard to say what the consensus of poskim hold, because many poskim hold like Reb Aaron Cutler, so that you don't need to leave one chomer altogether on your oven. So, of course, if you go like that, then the door is the same as the rest of the oven. You can kosher it with the highest, and then that's fine. But if you're not doing that, then and you want to rely on the self-clean, then you should cover the door.
You cover the door afterwards?
Yeah, kosher the oven, and then before you cook for Pesach, you cover the door with foil or something.
No, I'm saying, but after you do a self-clean oven, then you cover the door?
Yeah, just before you start using it for Pesach, right? Before you start cooking for Pesach. Now, by the way, there's also a difference in the lumdus between these two things, is that if you're doing libun chamor, like the self-clean, then again, like we explained, it actually burns out the flavor. So if it burns out the flavor, then you could do it even immediately after you used it for chametz. You used it for chametz, you could do it right away. If you actually are doing libun kal, you're doing the lower level, so that's a big machlokes. How does that work? Does that actually pull out the flavor, or does that burn the flavor out? So if it pulls out the flavor, there's a tzad to say, the Prima Gadim says that you should have to wait 24 hours between the last time you used it for chametz and when you're going to do it. So if you don't have a self-clean oven and you're just going to run it on the highest, let's say 450 for an hour and a half, so then you should probably make sure it's very clean and wait 24 hours before you do it. In other words, you shouldn't do it until the 24 hours passed between then and the last time you used it for chametz. So if you used it for chametz at noon on Wednesday, you shouldn't kasher it for Pesach until afternoon on Thursday. So you should wait 24 hours from the last time you used it for chametz, and then you should do the libun kal if you're going to do it that way. Okay. Now, that's the oven itself. Now, what about regarding the stovetop? So there's three types of stovetops. There's the old-fashioned, gas stoves. There's a gas stove, there's an electric stove, and then there's the glass tops, which is, I don't know how common anymore the electric coils are. I'm not sure those are so benimts anymore. But let's start with the gas. So if you have a gas stove, so the way the gas stove works, right, is that, there's the little round piece, there's the part where the flame comes out of, and then you have the grates that you put the pots on. So, and then there's the area between the burners. So all that stuff needs libun in order to kasher it. So the main issue, let's say the little piece of metal, which is on top of where the burner comes out, the way you could kasher that is you turn on the burner on the highest and you cover the burner, let's say with the blech or some sort of extra heavy duty foil, and that spreads out the heat, and that will let the heat of the flame spread over the area, and that will cover kasher that little piece of metal. But
is that that kosher piece you're putting on top? The
blech? No, as long as it's clean, it should be okay. But the problem is, what about the racks? So I think nowadays, again, those racks need libun chomer, because what happens is, over the course of the year, you had a fire going, and then some chametz dripped onto that rack, and the way the rack got the chametz is through the fire itself. It's not through a medium. A hot piece of noodles or hot chametz fell on those racks. Those racks are mamish chametz, and they need libun chomer. So really, the only good etza for that is to do libun chomer on them. So what most people say is you take the racks and you put them inside your oven and you run them on a self-clean cycle. When you're koshering your oven on the self-clean, stick your racks from the top of the oven inside and then turn the self-clean on and everything will be koshered, which is a great idea. But the problem is many of these racks are not such strong metal that they'll be able to last or survive through that process. And for sure, if you follow the manual from the manufacturer, it says do not do that. Most of them will say they'll get discolored or they'll get damaged to some degree. So if you're afraid that it will get damaged, that itself is a shayla, that if you could do libun that way. And, so really I don't have a good etza, except for either you cover it with foil, which is a real pain in the neck, or you try it in the oven and see what happens. Or you buy new ones for Pesach, and that should be, most manufacturers will have replacement racks, and you buy replacement racks and you use those for Pesach, or you stick it inside your oven, or you cover it. That's the only way to do that. But otherwise, that's fine. The area between the burners, the area between... No, that won't work because these racks received chametz directly through the fire, not through a medium of liquid.
Or the spilling of liquids.
A liquid that spills on it, if the liquid is chametz, is called libun. That's not called a medium. The medium is when, let's say, you have pasta, which is chametz, and it went through water. But if the chametz itself fell on, even if the chametz is a liquid, it's still a problem. And Roiv Tashmishoy of chametz was probably needing libun anyway. Therefore, really, the best etza for that is to one of those three things: either cover them, kasha them in the oven, or buy new ones. The area between the burners in a gas oven, the area between the burners should be covered, because again, a lot of times you probably, it's very hard to assume, it's hard to know, assume that you'd be able to kasher that through Irui, and therefore even during the year we assume that the area between the burners is probably treif, and therefore just cover the area between the burners and assume it's a problem. On an old fashioned electric burner, you have those coils. So those coils, you could turn them the highest, and they burn themselves out. So they kasher themselves. The little rim around the burner that you could cover, or buy new, very cheap, or whatever. That little rim around the burner, and the area between the burners, again, you can you should cover. The problem is with the glass top stovetops, because we paskin the glass, Ashkenazim, glass is a problem, and you cannot kasher glass with Haggalah. So you cannot pour hot water on glass for Pesach, or plastic for that matter. But glass, you cannot kasher it through Haggalah, the Rama says, for Pesach. So there's no real good way to kasher glass for Pesach. Now, therefore, because the only way to kasher this glass top was with Libun, it's really hard to know how hot do these glass tops get to find out if there's going to be a Libun Chomer on them. Most poskim hold that you cannot do a Libun Chomer on these glass tops, because even if you turn it to the highest, it doesn't get hot enough to be considered a Libun. Now, and definitely the area between the burners, you know, maybe just the part that becomes red itself, maybe just the part that becomes red, that itself maybe becomes kosher, but definitely any area beyond that won't. So let's assume, let's say even if you would argue that the part that's red, like burns itself out and it koshers itself, but let's say your pot is a little bit bigger than the burner. So now your pot is directly touching a chametz dik surface, because right beyond that red part is definitely a problem. And turning it on the eyes did not kosher that. So therefore, it's very hard to assume that even if you could kasher the area where it becomes red hot, that would still permit you to use the glass top, because it's one flat surface and the pots slide around all over the place, and therefore the area between the burners is definitely a problem. And if you cover it with foil, it'll probably crack or something like that. You can't really assume that will work on a glass top stove. So there's no real good eitza for the glass top stove. There's one other point with the glass top, which is the following. The Gemara says an interesting point. The Gemara says that when you're doing libun, the Gemara talks about a pot of cheres that which is the regular way. You stick this pot on top of coals and you cook chametz inside. So the Gemara says even if you would stick it on top of the coals to kasher it, it still wouldn't work. Because if you think about it, the fire is burning out from the outside of the kli, and the flavor of the chametz came in through the inside of the kli. And the only way to kasher it is if the fire is burning out the chametz from the same direction that the chametz went into. So therefore, the Gemara says the only way to kasher this pot is by filling the pot up with coals. So that way the fire is burning out the flavor from the same direction that the flavor went into. So let's think about it from what?
Did you finish the glass stove top?
Well, I'm getting there. I'm adding something. So the issue with the glass top is that the flavor came in, let's say chametz dripped onto it from the top. The coils are on the bottom. So it's very similar to what the Gemara in Pesachim says, that this type of pot, you need to actually burn it out from the direction that the flavor came into. And the direction that the flavor came into is from the top, not from the bottom. So even if you would turn on the fire, the coals are on the coils on the bottom, making it red hot, but the flavor came in from the top.
So when the Gemara says you're getting mad at the kivshin, the heat is coming from the outside, even though the pleasure from the inside. It's a certain level of heat.
That's considered a new kli. That's considered a new kli. It only works by cheres, because Mafsil Kivshan, what it does is it's not even tameh anymore, the kli. It's a brand new kli. It's like it destroyed it and remade the kli. And That's a little bit different. But anyway, regardless, this is not Machzor L'Kiddush. I'll give you an example. We had one time a case that someone called up. I was in Lakewood, and I was sitting with the Rav. And someone called up the Rav and said that my son, sandwich maker, a milchik sandwich maker, he took some rye bread, put a piece of pastrami, some deli, he put it into the sandwich maker, wanted to make himself some roasted pastrami. Okay? So that sandwich maker is obviously treif now, because it used to be milchik, and now it was used for this fleishik thing. So the question was, can you plug it back in and kosher it that way? Think about it. The way it got treif is through the fire of the sandwich maker. So now you plug it back in, it gets the same level of heat, and kosher it that way. So the answer is no, because how did it get treif? It got treif through the top, and the fire is coming in through the bottom. So therefore, you can't kosher it, even by turning it on. It won't kosher because the flavor of the meat came in from the top and the coil that's heating up the sandwich maker is coming in from the bottom. It won't be able to kosher it. Now, there is a whole machloikas. What happens if it's very, very hot on the top and the bottom? It's a big machloikas. It doesn't matter. If the flavor came in from the top and the coil's on the bottom, it doesn't necessarily work. Which is a question about the ovens as well, but okay. Now, based on this, I would recommend that you do not kosher a glass top oven for Pesach. The Starkei does give an eitzah. The eitzah is that after you kosher it and clean it well and all that, what you do is you take like a trivet or a disc, and basically the trivet or the disc is the size of the burner, and your pots lay on that trivet when you're cooking. So this way the pot doesn't slide around, and the pot won't touch the rest of the glass top. And the pot won't touch the rest of the glass top, so therefore it's not really coming in contact with the treif surface. Now, I don't know if that will actually cook anything, but, that's an eitzah from a kasher's perspective, because this way it's never really touching the glass top itself. Are there any other eitzahs given? Rabbi Kolodny, any other eitzahs given on this? I don't know. What? David, is there any, I don't know of any other eitzahs that are given on this issue. Okay, so I don't know any other eitzahs that are given for the glass top other than therefore, if you're willing to try this disc thing, you could try it. Otherwise, the only other eitzahs I could say is for about $300, you could buy another glass top and replace it, but you've got to know what you're doing. You know, electrician, or you can figure it out.
I'm sure the CRC's list, it does not, they're a little bit more lenient on this. I'll share it already.
On the glass top?
Yeah.
What they say, you could just kosher it?
They say you clean it very well, wait 24 hours, and then you leave it on to the highest setting for a half hour.
Right, but even they say that that's only assuming, even that. Okay, so that's a big kula, number one, and even that kula only works if you make sure that if the pot never slides beyond where it became perfectly red. So, if your pot. That's what I'm saying. Even according to, if you're going to look online and you're going to try to find any kula, you know, from the CRC or any of these other places that say you could kosher it, you have to remember one thing, that's only working because they assume with a condition that your pot will never go to the area beyond the burner. So you turn on the burner on the highest and it koshers the area of the burner itself. But that means if you have a pot, let's say you have a big chicken soup pot, that's bigger than the largest burner, you can't use that because the outside of the pot is going to touch the area beyond the burner. And your pot may slot. What?
In theory, one can get the whole surface to leap and cowl by putting an upside down pan on top.
Now, who said leap and cowl works for glass? Glass is like cheres.
I don't know. I was thinking, in theory, if leap and cowl would work for that. then you can do, you can get it up to the kal temperature on the entire surface by putting it upside down to the whole sheet pan.
Yeah, but I don't know what Shaykh is sleeping kal over here.
He's like a glass of mom's like cars, then even the glass, even the part with the ring won't get that hot.
Well, that's what I don't really fully understand, but they're saying it's like an Eish Mamish. So it's like an Eish Mamish, so therefore that's like Liban Chomer on the glass itself. And you know,
buy a burner, that's it.
What?
You just buy a burner.
Right. The other
Correct.
The other Eitza is you just cover the glass top and buy yourself electric burners, you know, two burners and that's it. Right. It's a one-time investment, you know, and that's the best way to do it. Again, I'm not saying that if you're in a bedieved situation and this is the only time you're making Pesach and you have no way, you know, you're not planning on, and you know, there is what to rely on if you're just going to kosher it out. But again, then you have to make sure and you have to be very careful that your pots somehow only are on the part where it turns red hot, which you have to, a frying pan for eggs. I mean, you have to be very careful with that. So it's a little bit,
even if you're you know, you're cooking eggs and you swish the frying pan, that's an issue, right? You literally cannot move it, from what I understand.
Right. In other words, the only way to rely on koshering the glass top would be is that you have to assume that just the area of the burner itself can kosher itself out, and the rest, you have to make sure that the pot won't slide around the glass top.
Put silver foil everywhere, you don't have to worry.
If you put silver foil everywhere, will that burn the glass top? Will that crack it?
Silver foil will melt into the glass if it's where the glass gets hot.
Well, I use burners, I'm telling you, for everybody else, it doesn't matter.
Right. I don't think that putting foil on a glass top is a good idea. I think it's going to end up ruining your glass top, and you're going to have to get a new one anyway, so you may as well just get the new one before Pesach, and then after Pesach.
Shatner's offering to replace everyone's glass tops for them.
I was going to come over to my house and do it there.
I think the best eitzah if you're gonna do that is buy this metal disc that the Starcade discusses. If you can't get the burner or the other way, because this way you know that the pot is raised up over the surface of the glass top. Now, if you have like another what? No, but if you have this disc, then the pot is not touching the surface, the point is.
If liquid runs down underneath the disc, between the disc and the glass, and now it's liquid between all three surfaces, then time goes that way too.
Also, don't you have to make sure you keep the same side of the disc every year?
Right, that's what he's saying. You got to make sure that the flavor doesn't pass from... Yeah, but again, the disc is on top of the burner, so therefore it's easier to assume that maybe the burner kashered itself out. You're a little less risky there. If you have an old-fashioned, like, range, you know, so... and you have, let's say, you know, the back, you know, the screen, the back control panel of the oven... And not a flat, you know, it's like an old-fashioned range you push in. So that thing also, you have to cover that a little bit because the pots, the whole year, are going to push up against that. So the surface behind the pots, where the pots go, also should be covered. I'm just going to point that. You have to be very careful when you cover all that stuff because underneath that panel is where the oven vents out. And if you cover those vents, the heat of the oven will not vent out and you'll cause major damage to the oven. And you don't want to do that. So you're going to, you can melt. I've had many stories already. People melted the screens of their oven, the control panel and everything like that. Whenever you're covering anything in the oven, you got to make sure that when you're covering anything in the oven, you got to make sure that you're leaving room for it to vent. And you don't cause it to damage.
We'll be in touch. Love you, bye. name is Naftali Bennett, and I'm minister.